Good evening, Dhamma friends. Today we are going to have the fifth lesson. Happy married life. How many of you are married here? Personal question. Oh, quite a lot of number of people. I think the rest are expecting. Well, those who are married, as well as those who are expecting, or those who wish to live is still single, still this lesson will be valid. Buddhism recognizes family life is very important, and Buddha has given enough teachings to make it very meaningful, as well as a pleasant one. And if we were to follow his advice, then we can live happily here and now. And also, if you wish, you can even go beyond the death. The marriage can go beyond the death. That depends on whether you want to extend your marriage beyond the death. Well, today we are going to talk about how to be happy in married life, because this module we are talking about happiness. Married life or family life is the smallest unit in this society. So without happy married life, it is impossible to expect a happy society, happy village, happy town or happy country. So if each and every husband and wife were to follow these simple teachings of the Buddha, which are very meaningful as well as practical, then we can expect that village or town or country or society to be happy, contented, a pleasant one. So let's see. In the first place, why do we have to get married? In fact, why do we have to get married? Well, it is to live together, to share our love, care, as well as our problems, to care and share, to gratify our sense faculties, to live together, to have kids. So this is something very important. And when we talk about the relationship between man and woman, what Buddha says in Anguttara Nikaya is very important. And he says, shall we read together? Okay, this is what he said. No other forms do I know, O monks, that so persist in obsessing. Well, this is a summarized portion of what he said. In fact, when it comes to the form, sound, scent, taste and touch in each and every for this, Buddha says the same thing. He addressed a group of monks one day and he said, Itti rupam bhikkhave purisasya cittam pariyadaya tittati. Monks, when it comes to a man, among five sense pleasures that can gratify man's eye, his ears, nose, his tongue and his body, these are the five sense faculties. Among all the five sense that you can find in the world, when it comes to a man, there's nothing comparable with a woman. A woman's body, her touch and sound, scent, touch and all these obsess the mind of a man so much, so that he clings to the woman so much. So, here is, in fact, it is summarized form. And it is not only for the man, the other way around also. Buddha says, when it comes to a woman again, among all these five sense pleasures that you can derive through the sense faculties, and for a woman also, the man's the form, touch, scent, taste, sound are favorable, pleasurable. What is he trying to say? Man and woman, they are attached to each other so much. Biologically, we are attached. We are attracted to each other. And it is a need. And not only humankind, but also among the animal kinds. The male and female, they are attracted to each other by nature. That is why they unite together. They reproduce. That is how these generations are going on and on and on. So it is to gratify our desire, our physical needs, as well as mental needs. So marriage is accepted way, a civilized way, in a society by law, accepted unit for a man and a woman to come together, to live together in a society, in a civilized way. That is what we call marriage. Well, ancient Greeks, the Greek people, they believed formerly man and woman were together, in fact. There were no separate men and women, only one. Then, what did the God do? The God divided the man and woman into two. From that time onward, these two pieces are trying to get together always. That is what the ancient Greeks say. And they are also trying to say the same thing here, what Buddha is trying to say. Man and woman, they are attracted to each other so much. Physically, mentally, both. Okay? Well, maybe some of you have heard about this gentleman. And he has written many books. And he has something to say when we talk about marriage here today. This is what he says. Shall we read it out? Be careful. Well, so hell and heaven are on the earth. It is within your family. And if you got the right person, yes, it is heaven. If you got the wrong person, that is hell. 24 hours, correct? He says, you are in 24 hours hell. Well, some people say marriage is like a honey bowl. Got it? He said, marriage is like a honey bowl. Those ants who got into this honey bowl, they have tasted honey, they have enough, they want to get rid of it, but they do not know how to come out. But those ants who are going round and round on this honey bowl, they are looking for a way how to get into this honey bowl. So they are jealous of those who are already inside. So there is something explained. Well, it is not what we see from outside. Once you get into married, only you will see the real nature of it. It does not mean it is unpleasurable, unfavorable conditions. But if you are not wise, if you are not civilized enough or disciplined enough, of course it can be a hell. So that is why we need the precious teachings of the Buddha to have pleasant, decent, pleasurable, favorable, happy married life. And that is what we are going to learn here today. Well, I guess many of you read the discourses before you come. Well, according to this person, he says it is very important for us to be very careful before we decide our marriage. And Buddha also says something not in fact related to marriage, but related to relationship. This is what he says. Charanche nadi gacheye seyang sadisamatteno. Eka charyan dalhang kaira natti bale sahayata. He says, if someone is looking for a companion, someone to associate, if that person does not find someone equal or superior or equal to his states, then it is better to live alone. It is better to live alone rather than getting into troubles in the relationship. Here, what he means, when we look for someone to get married, when we look for someone to associate throughout our life, and that person should be either equal or superior in quality-wise, in qualities of the brain and qualities of the heart, both. Otherwise, if you find out someone who is lower quality, here in Buddhism recognize lower quality means evil, immoral, unwholesome person, then that married life can bring a lot of suffering and miseries. So Buddhism, from the Buddhist point of view, there is no such kind of rule that each and every man or woman should get married. There's no such kind of law in Buddhism. But it is encouraged to those who want to live as lay people and want to live family life, the freedom is given. But there are no such kind of prohibitions or such kind of laws that making it compulsory. So it's up to the individual. So freedom is given. Correct? So some of you can easily become monks and nuns in the future, those who are not expecting to get married, because you have greater demand here. Well, Buddha says, what did he say? There are four types of marriage. Let's see to what group you are belonging. What happened? One day Buddha was walking along a road between two cities, Veranja and Madura. While he was walking along this road, he noticed a group of young men and women are also following him. These are newly married couples. And Buddha, having gone out from the road, sat down under a tree because it was very hot and for days abiding to rest a bit. Then these young men and women also followed and they paid respect to the Buddha and sat around him. So Buddha noticed among these good men and women, there are various kind of tendencies. Some people are having virtuous tendencies. Some others are having wicked tendencies. So he wanted to have these people to live happily, happy married lives. So without their request, Buddha started the discourse. He said there are four types of married couples existing in the world. Do you know these four? They said, we do not know. So Buddha started, who are these four types of married couples? First couple, he said, a wretch lives together with a wretch. Do you know who is wretch? The word, Pali word for the wretch is known as peta. Peta is like goblin, a kind, a wretch, a miserable, a person who is immoral. That is called wretch. Okay, so Buddha said, there's one married couple, it is like wretch lives together with a wretch. Second couple is a wretch lives together with a goddess. And third couple, a god lives together with a wretch. And the fourth couple, a god lives together with a goddess. So let's see who are these four couples from the Buddha's own point of view and how he defined. So you can refer to your course note. This is how does a wretch lives together with a wretch. What does it mean? Both husband and wife, they are having evil, wicked, immoral tendencies. And they are the ones... They are here How does a wretch live together with a wretch? Here the husband is one who destroys life. Husband is very evil, wicked, immoral. He destroys life. Means kill living beings. Means he cultivates a lot of hatred, ill will, and negative, evil, immoral thoughts. He always produces in his mind. And also he takes what is not given. Steals, engage in sexual misconduct, and also speak falsely, and indulge in wine and liquor, intoxicant. Basically, he break all the five precepts. He kills, steals, engage in sexual misconduct, tell lies, and take drugs. And not only that, he is immoral and bad character. When someone doesn't live in a righteous way, keeping these precepts, he becomes immoral and bad character. And then obsessed by stinginess, another one. Because only generous people can develop the virtuous qualities. In stingy one, together with all these evil, immoral, bad characteristics, it is by nature his mind obsessed by stinginess. Stinginess here rather means selfish, narrow, self-centered, not open-minded, narrow-minded. And also abuses and reviles religious people. Why it is so? Because all the religions teach something against for this. All the religions say killing is bad, do not kill, do not steal, do not engage in sexual misconduct, don't tell lies, and do not take liquor or drugs. All the religions teach you to avoid all these evil, wicked, immoral ways. Of course, this fellow is practicing all these things. So he is very angry with the monks and nuns and all the other religious people. So whenever he gets the opportunity, he will hammer them. So that is what it means. Abuses and reviles the religious people. So basically here means husband is evil characteristic. Having an evil, immoral character. So if you go through these, you can understand his thoughts, his words, and his physical actions are based on greed, hatred, delusion, rooted in them, and rooted in these three defilements and related defilements. So every single moment, every single second, that person is producing dark energy. He produces dark energy through his thoughts, words and actions. Dark energy bring unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation, suffering. And this kind of husband will definitely quarrel with the wife and beat the wife and do whatever he wishes to do. Because he doesn't have any care, he doesn't have any love and concern towards the living beings. He can go to the extent to kill, correct? So he drinks, and since he also engages in sexual misconduct, he will not have any respect towards the wife. He may got many others also. So, in this kind of a person, he is known as a wretch, a miserable person, a peta, from the Buddhist point of view, immoral person. This kind of person is also given another term, bala, means very foolish person. And then, the first couple, not only husband, but also wife also has got the same characteristic. His wife is exactly the same in all respect. So both husband and wife, both of them are having all these evil characteristics, habits. So that couple is known as a devil who is living with another devil. Okay? And how does a wretch or a devil live together with a god? This is the other way around. He says, husband is of evil, immoral, unwholesome character. His wife is one who observes five precepts. Then, is virtuous of good character, dwells with the heart free from stinginess, and does not abuse or revile religious people. So here the other way around. Here only husband is evil, immoral, but wife is virtuous. She keeps five precepts, observe five precepts, and virtuous, cultivate a lot of virtuous qualities, and also dwells with the heart free from stinginess, means open-hearted, broad-minded, and also tend to religious practice. Do not revile or abuse the religious people. So she has got respect towards them. So this is how a rich lives together with the God. How does a God live together with the rich? This is third couple. And here, husband is virtuous. Husband is the one who follows the five precepts, cultivate a lot of virtuous qualities. He is generous, open-minded, and he also follows the religious life. But the wife is the other way around. See, this wife has drunken a lot, I think. Well, how does a god live together with a goddess? This is the ideal couple. How many of you belong to this group? But face doesn't look like. So here, this is the ideal couple from the Buddhist point of view. Here, this couple, Buddha says, the god lives together with the god. Here, the god, in all the religions, the god is depicted as compassionate, full of loving kindness, full of virtuous qualities, very pleasant looking. And the God here refrain from all the evils, cultivate good, dedicate for the righteous cause. Here both husband and wife, they observe five precepts and they are virtuous, compassion and generous, and uphold righteous principles in life, five precepts. And this is divine couple in human form. So here it is very clear in this discourse, Buddha start from this point to give his teaching to a couple who wants to live happily should uphold the righteous principles. So both husband and wife should at least observe five precepts. If cannot five, at least four. If cannot four, at least three. But I think cannot go more than that. Huh? So it is good to observe these five precepts, both husband and wife, in order to have happy, peaceful, decent, meaningful married life. Because when you do not observe five precepts, when you violate them, you are producing a lot of dark energy. And dark energy always brings suffering, miseries, here and now. But when you uphold the five righteous principles, you cultivate certain qualities. Suppose you refrain from killing and you cultivate compassion, loving kindness. You refrain from stealing, then you develop generosity, giving away rather than stealing. Then you refrain from sexual misconduct, but respect and accept. Then you refrain from telling lies, but become truthful, honest to your partner, to your husband and wife. Never cheat. Then refrain from drugs and alcohol, and develop mindfulness, right understanding. In this way, you are moving towards the right direction, towards the light, towards the enlightenment, towards the happiness. So, the secret of a happy married life starts with upholding righteous principles. Here, upholding righteous principles means becoming civilized. What makes you different from animal? What makes you different from animal? Sometimes, when a human being behave in an immoral, wicked, unwholesome way, sometimes we label them, he is like an animal. Because he behaves like an animal. So what make us, we are also animals, correct? Human beings. But this so-called human being, by becoming civilized, and today he is known as Homo sapiens sapiens, is it? So, he is an animal in fact. So, when you uphold these five righteous principles, you become civilized human being. And to lead a decent family life, both husband and wife has to be civilized. Well, these are the Buddha's advice for a happy married life. He says, uphold righteous principle, which is your morality. When you talk about morality, morality is explained as becoming civilized. Then, develop a sublime state of mind. These are love, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. Here, you should love your husband and wife. Both of them, husband and wife, should cultivate love towards each other. And if possible, this love should be based on selflessness. Unconditional love will be greater if possible. It is something to be cultivated. So honestly love each other and have compassion towards each other. Means compassion here means paradukke sati hadayan kampanam karotiti karuna. I explained last week. When you see someone is suffering, in danger, in pain, in your heart arise feelings to relieve suffering. So when you see your husband or your wife is in pain and suffering, you move towards, move forward to relieve suffering. So always you care about your wife, you care about your husband. You always wish my husband or my wife live with ease, without pain and suffering. So, not only you love your wife or you love your husband, but also go to the extent to relieve, to eradicate suffering from your husband or from your wife. That kind of heart. Then, appreciative joy. Here, both husband and wife should enjoy the happiness of each other. When husband sees wife is happy and doing well in getting promotion or in her professional life, husband is extremely happy. On the other hand, when wife sees the husband is doing well and getting success in the society, then she is happy. So, become happy to see each other's are happy. Third quality. And also, equanimity here, important. Who is the boss at home? Yes, both husband and wife, they are equal from the Buddhist point of view. It shouldn't be a question that who is superior. Rather than that, each husband and wife should understand the man has got a different qualities, different skills, different capacities, capabilities. The woman also has got different type of skills, capacities, capabilities. So both of them in fact dedicate equally. So there shouldn't be any questions who is superior. Whatever the decisions that they are going to take should be discussed first. So this is what you mean equanimity. So Buddha says, the second important factor here, you should cultivate these four sublime qualities if you want to be happy. If you want to lead happy married life. Then, number three, understanding, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, gentleness, and dedication. These are some of those great qualities that Buddha attribute to husband and wife if they wish to live happy life here and now. I have not given you the Pali terms here. I think it's not so important. As long as you get the meaning and as long as you get the message, that's very good enough. Okay? Okay, now we have come to the Sigalovada Sutta. Remember this discourse? We discussed about this discourse 3 weeks back. And in this discourse, Buddha divided the society into 6 groups and he he gave duties towards each other to be performed. So rather than creating a right conscious society, he created duty conscious society. So here Buddha has given certain duties to be performed by husband and wife towards each other to have happy, peaceful family life. These are also very important. Let's see what are the duties of a good husband towards a good wife. Both have to be good. So, number one, by honoring her. Do you respect your wife? Do you respect your wife? And it is your duty. Do you know it? Buddha has given it as your first duty. Why did the Buddha have to give to this man, Sigala? Remember to whom did the Buddha give this discourse? To a young man. So, here when Buddha talks about duties of a husband towards wife, the first duty the Buddha gave, you should respect your wife. Why it is so? 2500 years back, the society was male dominated. The womankind were treated like slaves. And the Brahmins taught those days, Putta rakshati kaumare bharata rakshati yauvane na putta trista vire bhare na istri svatantra marhati. When a girl is young, then the girl should live under father. And when a girl is married, then she should live under the husband. Then when this lady becomes very old, then she still has to live under the son. Na istri svatantra marhati. Ever and ever give freedom for the womankind. That is what 2500 years back the Brahmin taught. But Buddha is totally against this kind of ideas. He said, men and women are equal. And here he says, you should respect your wife. Because there were many cases those days, the wives were beaten and abused, and they were considered like the slaves and maidens at home. So, first and foremost duty is to respect. How do you respect? Like you respected Buddha, kneel down and pay respect. It is not that. Through your thoughts, through your words, through your physical the actions, maintain respectable behavior towards your wife. It is because he wanted to prevent the abusing of the women kind of wives. And he's still, all over the world, even in Singapore, I guess many of you read a few years back, there were many stories appearing in the paper. Well, I'm not talking about husbands are bad. There are sometimes wives who beat the husbands. Well, number two, he said, not only by respecting, but by not disparaging. Do not insult her, disparage her. These two are given as duties, especially to that society, but is still accepted even today in the modern society. So you have to respect. As at the same time, you should not disparage and ridicule or belittle your wife. And number three, by not being unfaithful to her. That's also very important. Those days in Buddha's time, some kings and ministers and rich people, they had many wives. Many of them. Some of them hundreds and even thousands of wives were there for certain kings. So the king or those men, they can go with any women. It's alright, it's accepted. But for the women, it is considered evil, immoral, unwholesome. So if wife goes and stay outside or sleep with another man, that is considered she is not faithful and she is immoral, wicked, unwholesome. But for a man, it is alright. That was the society. So Buddha said, that is very wrong. Not only wife should be faithful to husband, but husband also has to be faithful to this wife. So he has given the third precept for both men and women to observe. So here, Buddha is still going against this society. All these, number 1, 2, 3, are totally against that society those days. Number 4, he's by giving authority to her, that is also important. But remember, some of these duties are given taking the 2500 years back society. So here, giving authority here means, those days, husband went out and earned and brought money. So he was the breadwinner. So wife, she supposed to be at home, taking care of children, and keeping the house in tidy and neat and preparing the food. And here it is necessary to give the authority to the wife at home. If you do not give the freedom and authority to handle the things, and when you come home from your the hard work outside, and she may not be able to handle the things. So Buddha says you should give the freedom and authority to handle the things at home. You should not control her unnecessarily. Number 5, by providing her with adornments. So here Buddha also, on the other hand, his human qualities, he understood. Here it explained in text like providing those ornaments, earrings, and what is it called, those kind of jewelries and gift. And it is a duty of a husband. Well, those days, in fact, a husband worked and earned, so the wife did not work. But nowadays, wife also works, correct? It's all right to give some gift to your husband. The other round is also possible. And so some of those we have to adjust and add up for today, since both husband and wife go out and work, and both of them can exchange the gift, and so the fifth one we can adjust and adopt. Okay, these are the duties of a good husband towards a good wife. Remember, towards a good wife, okay? God lives together with a God. This is based on this, Buddha is giving this. And what are the duties of a wife towards a husband then? Well, I don't think you can find this kind of wives nowadays. Can you? Unless you fall sick. If you or maybe those, you know, the first and second day of your, after you are married, first few days maybe, when both you are relaxing, yeah, possible. But unless, okay. What is the first duty? By properly organizing her work, that is, again, Buddha is giving these to keeping the husband and the wife in mind in that social context, as I told you. And wife used to stay at home and husband used to go out to work. So Buddha said, wife should organize her work properly. Whatever at home means bringing up children, raising them, and preparing the foods and drinks, and keeping the house tidy and nice way, planting the flowers and so on and so forth. Keep the house as a pleasant place. And these are still valid for the housewives, remember, even today. And those when we do not have a maid or someone to help us, still these are the duties of a wife. It's considered. By being kind to the servants, still given as a duty. Here, by being kind to the servants, those people who work at home. In those days, rich people, they had many servants at home. Not only one, but sometimes 15, 20, 30, even hundreds of them. So, they are all under the authority of the wife. So, the wife should take care of them, should attend to them, had to be kind to them. And by not being unfaithful, again you have to be faithful to husband, like husband becomes faithful to you. And by protecting stores, here means those days husband earned and brought money and gave money to wife. And so wife is supposed to handle the economy, handle the money at home. So it is the duty of her to not to waste but to spend in a meaningful way, protect prevent unnecessary wasting. And by being skillful and diligent in all she has to do. Okay, these are the simple duties are to be performed by a good wife towards a good husband. Okay, very important question now. Do you want your marriage to go beyond the death? Now you have to consider in which group you are belonging and whether you want to adjust and adopt and whether you want to change. Well, maybe now you cannot discuss in front of all of us here, correct? Later on, go home and sit and discuss, and then you decide and remember these teachings first. If you decide that you want to extend your marriage beyond the grave, beyond the death, still it is possible. Did you all read the discourse? Okay. What happened when Buddha was living in among the Bagga people near a place called Sunsumara Giri, he visited a couple. And this couple was known as Nakula Mata and Nakula Pita. Have you heard the word Mata? What is Mata? Mata is mother. Pita is father. So Nakula is the son. So Mr. Nakula was very famous in that area. So Mr. Nakula's mother was known as Mother of Nakula, Nakula Mata. Father was popular as father of Mr. Nakula, so Nakula Pita. So in fact, since son was famous and his parents were popular among the neighbors and among the monks as Nakula Mata and Nakula Pita. These two are very close to the Buddha. So, one day, Nakula Pita invited the Buddha for a lunch. So, Buddha went to this house, and once after he took seat, Nakula Pita came and paid respect to the Buddha, and what did he say? Venerable sir, from the day one that I brought my wife, Nakula Mata, when she also very young, and from that time onward, until up to now, I do not remember that I had any wrong thoughts towards her, less in deeds. So, I wish to be reunite again. I wish to live happily with her in this life, as well as I wish, if possible, to marry her again in my next life too. Is there a way that I can marry her again? Then what did Nakula Mata said? She also came and paid respect and uttered the same word. Venerable sir, from the day one that I was brought to my young husband's house, on that day onward, until up to now, I did not have any wrong thoughts towards him, less in physical actions. I wish to live a happy life with him as long as my life lasts. And I also wish to be together with him if possible in lives to come, if there is the way. So they are asking the Buddha to extend their marriage life beyond the death. Correct? So Buddha said it is possible if a couple wish, they can remarry again, reunite again, beyond the death. That is possible. And he gives these teachings. Okay, shall we read it out? If householders, both wife and these are the four qualities the Buddha advises, Buddha gives for those couples wants to be together beyond the death, are to be cultivated. If both husband and wife wish to live a happy life here and now, And if they still wish to be together after the death, then both husband and wife should cultivate these four qualities. So let's go through these qualities. What is the first quality? Sama Saddha, same faith. Here, what is same faith? Faith here, faith in your husband, faith in your wife. Faith are two types here. In the first place, you should trust your wife, you should trust your husband. Both husband and wife should have faith in each other, should trust each other. With sincerely, you should wish to be together again and again and again. That is faith. Make sure husband wants to marry wife, but wife doesn't want to marry. So in this life itself, married life will become unpleasant, and beyond the death, definitely she will run away. Well, both husband and wife should wish to be together. So here, that is what means faith. So you should have so much faith in your husband, so much faith in your wife. Both of them should have the link. Wish to be together. That is what it means by the faith. Faith also here means faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. It is important. Why it is so? When you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, you refrain from evil, you cultivate good, you purify your mind. So, you will move towards the right direction in this cycle of existence. So, faith is explained in twofold. Number one, that is faith in your husband, faith in the wife. This is to keep both of you together, link together. This is the bond. And again, also emphasize faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, that is to motivate your thoughts, words and actions towards the right direction. Okay. What will happen if only one person has got the faith, but the other one doesn't have faith? Means either wife or husband wish to be together and wish to reunite again after the death. But one of them doesn't have the faith, doesn't want. What will happen? What will happen? Only one-way communication. We will run after the others, but no use. So this is what will happen. Right? So here, both husband and wife should have faith in each other. And also important, whenever they do meritorious deeds, having done a meritorious deed, they have to wish, they have to make aspirations to be born in the same realm, to reunite again, to get married again. So this is a wish, and you have to make this wish. This is belongs to same faith. And there can be some occasions, and there are some young girls and young guys or handsome guys. Yes, they wish to get married, but is still looking for the suitable one. Still they are waiting. Maybe you do not know whether you have made this kind of aspiration in your previous life. So, it's still hanging around looking for the person. So, sometimes it so happens at the age of 50, you come across somebody suddenly from the other corner of the world and fall in love within few days' time, got married. There are cases, right? So, it is because if you have made such kind of great aspirations to be together again, definitely you will wait. You will still wait. You look for the one. You are right person to be present. So, still hanging around, still looking for. Well, Samasaddha. Then also important, both husband and wife should cultivate Samasila. What is Samasila? Same moral discipline. Here, moral discipline, why it is so? Both husband and wife should uphold five precepts, righteous principles. What happens in the other case, like husband and wife, one of them practice moral discipline, the other one doesn't practice moral discipline, what will happen? Suppose wife practice five precepts and virtuous qualities, and after the death she will be born in human realm, or divine realm, pleasurable, favorable realm. But husband doesn't practice five precepts, virtuous qualities. After the death, he can be born in a different realm. Suppose if he were to be born in Hungry Ghost realm, this time around he will hang in around, look for you and going around you. Different realms, correct? So it is important to have both husband and wife to uphold righteous principles, have same moral discipline. That is to avoid dark energy and produce positive energy. There was one of these stories happened in the time of the Buddha. One day, a monk from a distant place wanted to travel to see the Buddha. So he, rather than traveling through the land, he got into a ship. And when this ship was traveling by the sea, all of a sudden there occurred a storm. Then the ship was stuck there. It doesn't move anymore. Then one of the soothsayer who was in the ship said, "Well, there is a very unlucky person in this ship. And it is because of this unlucky one, we all have to face the death. So what do we have to do? We have to throw this unlucky one." So that was decided by the captain and all the others. But the problem was how to find this unlucky one. So what did they do? What do you do usually if you want to find somebody? Do lottery. They also did the same. So they drew lottery. First time, second time, and third time. All the three times. One of unlucky lady was lucky to got this lottery. What happened? Unanimously decided, and she has to be thrown to the sea. So the hands and legs were tied, and another big stone was also wrapped to her body and thrown to the sea. But after some time, anyway, the storm subdued and the ship started to move. And this monk who was looking all these things, after coming back to the land, went to the Buddha and repeated this story. And he wanted to know why that lady had to face that kind of tragedy. What did the Buddha say? Buddha said, "Monk, it is because that lady has done something similar action, something evil, a long, long ago." And the Buddha related this story. This story is thus. Once, there was a couple. This couple was faithful to each other, loved each other so much, and they wished to be born again and again, and marry again and again. But the problem was, wife was virtuous, husband was immoral. So, immediately after the death, and of the wife was born as a human being. But after a period of time, husband too died, but because of his evil behavior, because of a negative energy, he was born as a dog in the same village. But still they met together. The day one that this lady happened to see this dog, she felt like kind of link. So what did she do? She carried this baby home, gave a good bath, and prepared nice bed, gave nice foods, and took care of this dog like she is taking care of a human being. So this dog also, wherever this lady follows, and this dog starts to follow. what happened when this girl become a young girl, and when this dog also start to follow, the guys in the village, they started to joke on her. And the boys, of course, they started to joke and say, oh, you are married to this dog, or this is your boyfriend. And she got so upset. She was so depressed. But she doesn't know how to get rid of the dog. So what happened one day? She went to have a bath. The dog also followed to the river. And that day, she got so angry, but there's no any other way. She tied the dog to a stone and threw the dog to the sea, to the river. And the dog died there. And that was the evil actions which gave the reactions after a long period of time. But here the same story explained one thing. If both husband and wife want to reunite together, remember not only the faith, not only the love, but also have the same moral discipline. Otherwise you will be born in two different realms. Dog is better. What will happen if it is a hungry ghost, especially in 7 months? It will be a problem. So, what about this? Same generosity. Why is it important? Why generosity is important? Because generosity or practicing dana in return give you the opportunity to be born in pleasurable, favorable realms as well as in affluent families. So, in this cycle of existence, wherever you are born, you will have enough. You have got abundant wealth, enough wealth. So, you will not face difficulties of living. So, if both of them practice, both of them will have got favorable family background. So, it is easy to live comfortable life. So, Buddha gives the third aspect also. Number four also included Samapanya. Here means wisdom, understanding. This is very important, especially both husband and wife should cultivate Samapanya. Then both of them become equally wise, equally intelligent, equal educational background. So their thinking becomes similar. They can be very compatible a couple. And they also can solve their problems by discussing. And it is very important to have understanding wife and understanding husband who has got equal educational background or same type of thinking, similar type of thinking, same type of wisdom and understanding. So these four are very important to live a happy married life here as well as to unite after the death if you wish. But remember, both husband and wife should cultivate. So today, after this lesson, go home and talk nicely and come to agreement whether you want to extend or whether you want to terminate. Okay, maybe when we talk about married life, these are some strange advices given by a father to a daughter. Do you want to know? Can you read them? Number one? Do you understand? Well, maybe many of you have heard about Vishakha. Vishakha was a very famous lady living in the time of the Buddha, a billionaire, a very rich lady, and also very generous. She built many monasteries and helped a lot to propagate the Dhamma. Her father also millionaire Dhananjaya, another rich person. So she also married to another rich businessman, Punnavardhana. So on the day that she was given in marriage, father, other than giving a lot of money and property, also gave these 10 advice to this girl, Visakha. And hidden meaning of these 10 advice are thus: don't carry outside the indoor fire. Means, when you live with your husband, don't listen to outside gossip and how the other husband and wife, how they live, how what they do, what kind of quarrels they engage in. All these gossip don't bring to your house. And don't bother what the your neighbor's wife or neighbor's husband behave. You should take care of your husband and wife. So here means, do not bring outside problems into your life. You understand? So, maybe the simple reason, those days, ladies, those days, they always talk. They always engage in idle gossip. Not nowadays. Nowadays, ladies, they don't talk much, correct? Do they? I do not know. Well, those days, whenever they meet near the well, when they go to wash the clothes, they start talking. When they go to fill up their water, the pots, they start to talk. Whenever they get together, they start to talk. What do they talk most of the time? They talk about their mother-in-law, father-in-law, their husband, and how do they behave, what kind of characters are they, what kind of problems do they have. So here he's saying, well, you may come across these people, but don't bring outside problem, the fire, into your life. And also said, don't take inside the outdoor fire. Means, between your husband and yourself, there can be some problems. But don't tell these problems to outside people. No point of telling the weak point of your husband with other ladies, with outside ladies. No point. It does not mean that you cannot talk certain problems with your mother or father or with relevant people. It does not mean that. It means don't gossip. Don't talk bad about your husband with the other people, outside people, because that brings disgrace and they can create more problems for you. Number three, give only to those who give. There can be occasions and you have to give certain things, lend money or lend certain items, because the wife is the Lord at home. So make sure when you give, you should give to those people who will return the money or return those items. And also say, don't give to those who do not give. So there can be some people who borrowed money and they do not return you, borrowed some items and they do not return. Don't give to those people. And the next one is very funny. Give both to those who give and do not give. What does it mean? Here means your relatives or colleagues, very near ones. They may not be able to pay you back. Means they are poor. But it's still, you have to take care of your relatives and loved ones. Even though they cannot repay, still you have to take care, because it is your duty. You are rich. So, sit happily. Do you do it? Most of the time. What is sit happily? Here means, in Asian culture, usually when a teacher comes, we stand up from the seat that we are sitting. Correct? It is why? It is how we respect. This is how we pay our respect, show our respect. So usually in Asian culture, when a mother, father, or teachers, or religious people, when they appear, we do not keep on sitting. We stand up to show our respect. And we usually do not take higher seats than them. That is the Asian culture, how we pay our respect. In another culture, maybe they are paying respect in a different way. It's a different matter. Here, the underlying meaning is, pay your respect towards mother-in-law and father-in-law. Remember, it is very important. Correct? And here, that is means, sit happily. Eat happily? Does not mean, then, what does it mean? Eat happily? You eat and eat and eat and eat. The next one sleep happily. That's very nice. This nice advice, in fact. So what does it mean? Those days when they cook, one time they eat to taste salt, another time they eat to taste chili, another time they eat to taste whether it is cooked well, this and that. So at the end, when you cook the food, half of it is eaten. So here means, eat happily means it is your duty, being the Lord at home, to make sure enough food is there. Make sure that servants and all the other people in the house are given enough food, and then you can eat happily. Does not mean you have to wait until each and everyone finish the food. Means make sure each and everyone has got the food. Then you can, means you are eating happily. That is what it means. And sleep happily. What does it mean? I think many of you like this kind of advice if today were to be given. Sleep happily. Does not mean until 9 o'clock in the morning you all can sleep. Means before you go to sleep, make sure doors are closed. The servants have done their duties. The house is safe. Then you can sleep happily. So, given as a duty of a good wife. Of course, there are servants to look into these matters, but still you have to go and monitor. Otherwise, what will happen? The servants will do what they want. In time to come, they will neglect all these things. So it is a duty of a wife to look into these matters. Does not mean you have to physically go there and cook and do all these things. Of course, there is nobody you have to do it. If you have the servants, still you have to monitor these things. Supervise. Then number 9, tend the fire. What is tend the fire? Fire here means your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law and father-in-law, they are to be considered as fire. Very dangerous, they can burn you. But fire is also very important, correct? Fire, if you do not handle carefully, it can burn. It can burn yourself. You will be in danger. So, make sure, because this girl is going away from her house to another man's house. That was the culture those days, correct? So, usually she goes to husband's house and lives with mother-in-law and father-in-law. So, over there, fire means mother-in-law and father-in-law. So, tend the fire. Handle with them carefully. You know, deal with them very carefully. And also, number 10 is given another important. Honor the household divinities. Not only your mother-in-law and father-in-law, they are like fire. Actually, they are also like divine beings. Household divinity means they are the divine beings in that house. In your house, who are the divine beings? Your mother and father. Your mother and father. Remember when you talk about the mother and father, Buddha says, mother and father are to be considered as God. So here, in that house, your husband's side house also have got mother and father. Now you have to consider your mother-in-law and your father-in-law as your own mother and father. That's very important to have harmonious married life. Okay? Well, maybe some of the thoughts regarding a married life may be important to discuss since we have a still bit of time. Okay, there must be no thought of either husband or wife being superior. Remember, in Buddhism, both husband and wife are given equal positions, and they are to be perform their duties towards each other, and each is complementary to the other. As I told you, husband and wife, man and woman, has got different skills and capacities. So each and everyone, both of them have to be complementary to the others, rather than who is the boss or who is superior. We have to be complementary to each other. marriage is a partnership of equality, gentleness, and generosity as well as dedication. Equality, both of you are equal, share equally, and both of you have to be gentle towards each other. And also generosity means open-minded, give and take, and also have to dedicate. You need patience, you need dedication, and sometimes you have to give away, you have to let go, you have to dedicate your life for your married life, to have a happy married life. These are some of the important qualities. Buddhists never demand the other party should be converted to a Buddhist faith before marriage be solemnized. Some religions say that before the marriage take place, the other party should be converted to their faith. In fact, Buddhism maintains religion is freedom of people, and we respect and accept all the other religions too. So Buddhism, we never demand that your partner has to be converted to Buddhist faith. But this wonderful quality that Buddhists are having are taken as a weak point by some other uncultured people. Why I call I uncultured? Usually cultured people, they respect each other. They respect each other's way of thinking, way of looking at. So there can be certain religions that demand that the other party should be converted to that religion before we get married. So if you were to get married to such kind of person, you should open your mouth and say it, as much as I respect your religion, you should know how to respect my religion or my faith, my way of observing the religion. So religion is not used in Buddhism in the name of the marriage to increase the number of the followers. So this is a wonderful quality that we have to be proud that we are following such kind of teachings. But at the same time, we should not let other people to get advantage of it. Some people believed again that marriage is registered in the heaven. So after the marriage, you cannot divorce. So very terrible. You have to think twice, not twice, many times think before you get married. So according to certain religions, in fact, after marriage it is very sinful to get divorced, but not Buddhists. So Buddhism maintain, in fact, if you cannot live happy married life, if you cannot live peacefully, rather than killing each other, quarreling each other every day, rather than living in 24 hours hell, it is alright for you to, it is okay for you to get divorced. Because when you live such kind of life, always you are jealous, you have anger, hatred, ill will, cruelty through your thoughts, through your words, through your actions. You always produce a lot of negative energy. So your life becomes very miserable, you become depressed. Your social life, your family life, get downward. So your health is affected. And why do you have to live such kind of miserable life? So if you cannot live peacefully, then Buddhism, Buddhist practices, we encourage you to get divorced. Of course, it is better to live single life rather than living such kind of miserable life. So you have got that freedom. Whatever that. Yeah, I think, I should not disappoint our male followers. So we don't have direct answer yes or no. So there's a consolation. In fact, it is regarding whether a Buddhist can have more than one wife or not, there is no yes and no answer, remember it. But Buddha has given clear directions, enough instructions. In five precepts, the third one, third precept is already telling you that you have to be faithful to your wife. In Sigalovada Sutta, also Buddha has given it as a duty of a husband. So means, in other terms, Buddha has given enough instructions to have a married life, a one wife. So some religions, yes, according to certain religions, you can have many wives. In fact, in Buddha's times, there were, as I told you, there were some people who had many wives. Buddha did not go to the extent to meet up with those kings and say, hey, you have got so many wives, you should have only one, you should let the others to go, and this and that. He did not, in fact, go to that extent, because that was the culture accepted by many human beings. So it was all right for that society. But in clear terms, in clear instructions, he has given enough advice for the followers of the Buddha. So, here, even though you do not find the direct answer as a yes and no form, the clear answer, we have to confine to one wife or one husband. Okay, this is what I said. Well, some religions are not in favor of family planning. What about the Buddhism? So, because according to some religions, doing family planning is going against the God's will, because God has a plan, a master plan for all the human beings. So, you should not interfere for it. You see, then... But in fact, Buddhism recognizes... You can prevent conception. You can prevent being, you can prevent getting pregnant. It's okay. And it is not a sinful action. It doesn't produce any karmic energy. So, any kind of method that you are going to use, a natural one or artificial, or whatever the methods that you are going to prevent getting pregnant is alright. But, after getting pregnant, aborting, that is considered as a negative action, as a killing. Because when the conception takes place, it is already a form of life. So here we discourage followers to abort. So, before you get pregnant, you have to be careful and follow any technique, any method, that's okay. But after getting pregnant, doing abortion is considered as killing. But a question may arise, there can be certain situations where even the doctors ask you to go and do the abortions. Or, for an example, maybe an innocent girl was raped by someone. Immoral man, but she got pregnant. She did not want, but then, and is she going to give birth? And she should have the right to decide whatever. So there can be these kind of implications. Well, whatever all these implications and different conditions, we have given freedom and free will to the people. So. Still, abortion is a form of killing. Whatever the condition, under whatever the conditions, even though we have freedom to do, whether to keep the baby, to abort the baby, but in the name of the teachings, we are not going to say that it does not produce negative karmic energy. You get what I mean? Certain religions may tell you, in the name of the God or name of that religion or this religion, it is okay to kill. There is some other religion. See. In Buddhism, we say killing is a negative action, produce dark energy. Does not mean Buddhists do not kill. Buddhists also kill. So when the Buddhists kill, they know it is killing, they know it produces negative karmic energy. Having known it, they still proceed with it. So when someone does the abortion, we still say it is a form of, it is definitely a killing, and it produces karmic energy. But we also have to understand, not all the killings are same. And there can be many side issues, and we have to verify motivation, intention, and consequences behind these actions, and under what kind of conditions someone is going to perform, and what kind of mental condition that person is having when that person is undergoing this process, and why that person decides, all these are considered. In that way, we do accept not all the killings are same. There can be differences, especially when it comes to the moral gravity or karmic energy that you produce. But we do not say killing does not produce karmic energy. That's the only difference. Okay, some people are interested in the moral implication of religious attitude towards test tube babies. And is it alright? Well, some religions say no. But from the Buddhist point of view, it's alright. It doesn't, we cannot say that it's immoral or irreligious. Because Buddhism recognizes there are three factors for a conception to take place. Mata pitaro sannipatita honti. There should be a union of a man and woman, intercourse. Mata chutini hotu, it has to be the proper period, fertile period of mother. Gandabocha pachupatito, a relinking consciousness of a departed being should be present. When only these three are connected, combined together, present, then only conception takes place. So in this kind of situation, what happens, these outside two factors related to our material body, mother and father should come together and mother's fertile period of time. Here simply these factors are there for ovum to be fertilized with the sperm, correct? So this thing is done outside in laboratory circumstances, through the laboratory in a test tube. So what is happening between a man and woman is happening here through the scientific way. So, but it's still, if there is no the relinking consciousness of a departed being, this particular the fetus that they are going to produce will not come into existence. So not all the cases this will be successful. So from the Buddhist point of view, that is okay. There's nothing for you to go against for it. Okay. According to Buddhism, those who are involved in extramarital affairs, it means we are talking about third precept, sexual misconduct. These are the people that we are considered. In fact, we will discuss about this later on when we discuss about five precepts. I think we have got a different lesson. Here, when you have this, relationship or affairs with those people who are already married outside of the marriage, that is considered as misconduct. And those who betroth to someone, means if you are already having a boyfriend or girlfriend, and if you start another relationship, that is considered as misconduct. And if you are already engaged, still it is. And again, those who are under the protection of parents or guardians. So here means those who are underage. Correct? Underage. That depend on the law of the country also. And here, under what age a girl or a boy can get married? Do not know. Are you sure 16? Under age? Cannot be 16. Buddha's time was already 16. 2500. I think he is 18, maybe. Well, whatever, those guys, you all had to be careful and better make sure. You know, now I don't know whether that case is still going on. 44 men, correct? Still facing a lot of problems. Anyway, well, that is all these are to be considered. There are some other factors also to be considered, especially these three. Means a girl or boy has to be in a proper age, and that has to be the law of the country and the society, the culture, how it accepted, and also those who are not having any affair at the moment, even though they are not married, and also of course those who are already married, nothing to talk, and the chapter is closed. Okay, I think this much is related to our lesson here. Maybe this is some highlights what we talk about. There are four types of married couples. Can we repeat who are these four? One, again, number one, first couple, Rich lives together with Rich. And number two? Number three, God lives with the Rich. And number four? Well, hopefully that you'll find your own category. Okay, to lead a happy married life, these are important. Keeping five precepts, cultivating love, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity, and developing right understanding, these are very important. And also husband and wife should perform their duties towards each other. Both husband and wife, if they cultivate these four qualities, faith, morality, generosity, and wisdom, they can be here, happy here and now, as well as they can be reunited after the death if they so wish. And if someone cannot find a suitable person to lead a noble family life, it's alright to live single life, so nothing to worry. So we I think it's becoming a style in Singapore nowadays. Even though we wish that, you see, otherwise you all can apply to become monks and nuns like we, so you all can come to our society. Okay, this much is the talk. I don't think we had time for Q&A session for today. Well, after these 10 lessons are over, if you all have any questions, we can have a separate session especially for Q&A. We can have a different date. But please make sure you write down your question, otherwise you will forget. And now if we were to go to have Q&A session, I think they will lock up us, correct? 9:30 they are going to close the place.